live from the Oxygen Community Studios on this Wednesday afternoon here on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambador, Dave Burns, thank you as always for hanging out with us during your drive home, or maybe you're already home and you pulled us up on the smart speaker, however you did it. We appreciate it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here on this Wednesday. Kyler Murray always speaks to the media every single Wednesday, and coming off a performance in which he very easily could have been Offensive Player of the Week in the NFC, and quite frankly probably didn't get it, because Chandler Jones was a shoe-in lock to get Defensive Player of the Week in the NFC, and they typically don't like to give it to two guys from the same team the same week. Seems dumb, but
That's true?
That's kind of a thing.
That's
it's
an unwritten rule?
It's kind of an unwritten rule. It's kind of a thing.
Stupidest thing I've ever heard.
And I didn't know that until I started reading about it this morning, because I guess Kyler's agent was talking about how his guy should have gotten it, but because there's kind of this unwritten rule about not giving it to two guys from the same team.
Dumb.
It is dumb, and that's not taking anything away from Matthew Stafford. He had a great game. Kyler Murray had 5 touchdowns and was electric on Sunday afternoon against the Titans. So it does. It seems kind of dumb, but whatever. It is what it is. It's one of those unwritten rules, and a lot of those are dumb. Kyler Murray did talk to the media today and said just a lot of interesting, thought-provoking things about how he's grown up in this offense going into year 3. Starting with talking about how much more comfortable he is pre-snap, reading the defense, and diagnosing what's happening in front of him.
Yeah, I think just being in the offense for 3 years now, having the experience, the reps, seeing a lot of looks, you know, now knowing what to call at the line, what to check to, instead of, you know, rookie season, you know, being, you know, not knowing that maybe I should get out of this play, but not knowing what to check to. Whereas now it's just natural and it's easy. So, yeah, there's definitely a difference.
That is the kind of stuff you like to hear if you're a Cardinals fan.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, listen, this is his 3rd year. This is the year that everybody, you expect that quarterback to take that big jump in this year. You like what you saw out of Kyler Murray in year 1. You like what you saw out of year 2. There's no, like, we always talk about certain guys like, hey, what do the Suns have in Alex Len? I don't know. How long's he been here? 5 years? Really? He's been here that long? You know, certain guys, like, they're here for a long time. You're like, yeah. I don't know what you have in that guy. I don't feel that way about Kyler. I think that you know that Kyler is making these jumps from year 1 to year 2, now to year 3, and I think it's going to be a big year for him, and I don't think we question what they have in him.
This Q&A with a couple of reporters about having full freedom and confidence if he wants to check out of something, even if his coach might not agree with it.
How much freedom do you have to check? Is it just completely whatever you want?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, as long as it makes sense.
I was about to say, does it take some time to, I don't know, checking is not necessarily overruling your coach, but to have the confidence to, you know, call something or move something around that wasn't originally planned?
No, I mean, usually if I do, I mean, I know it's going to work. You know, I know the touchdown of C. Kirk, like, you got the look we wanted, 0, you know, and on the sideline, Cliff may not have been, you know, too happy with what I was doing, but it ended up working out. So, you know, that's just how it goes, you know, and I understand that. But, yeah, if I check something, as long as it makes sense in my mind and what I see, you know, I'm confident in it, then, you know, he usually doesn't have an issue with it.
If you're Cliff Kingsbury and you've been working with this kid for 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
Okay, for 3 years you've been working with him, and he doesn't have the ability to call out of something he sees, then you're not doing a good job.
Or you drafted the wrong guy at quarterback haven't done your job as a coach, or he hasn't evolved properly as a quarterback to be able to do it. Yeah.
He's an extension of you, okay? You're supposed to work hand in hand. He's going to see some stuff that you taught him. Okay, he's not looking at something that you didn't teach him and saying, hey, you know what? I got this crazy idea, man. We're going to try this triple reverse right now. Guys, come here, get in the huddle. Not trying anything like that. He's just seeing something. He's seeing something that he has learned in all the time that you guys have spent together. And he's seeing something. He goes, I like this play a little bit better. Yeah, so what? Listen, you got to learn from those mistakes, too. I mean, the best quarterbacks in the league audible, okay? They're audible. You see, you get to the line of scrimmage, you got a play call, you see something different, and you change out of what the call is, and you go into something that you like. I like that Kyler did that. I think it's going to help him develop as a quarterback.
Yeah. All right. What am I playing here? What is this? Tell me what this is before I hit play on this.
Okay, for context, since you guys were talking about him not winning Offensive Player of the Week in Week 1, he did win a different kind of award for Week 1.
Lincoln Loud is back with the news of our Week 1 MVP.
What's up, Lincoln? Okay, guys, I'm back with the big news everyone's been waiting for. this week's MVP.
Drum roll.
This week's MVP is... Kyler! Congratulations to our winner! That's one sweet trophy!
Teen Choice Award?
Catch you all next week!
How about that? I'll see you later, Lincoln!
See you later!
Kyler Murray! He deserves it. He bought out. He threw for four TDs.
And he ran a TD.
That's right.
I know what this
he
is now.
He did his thing. The first weekly MVP winner.
Close.
This man, Kyler Murray, he is
close.
Going into the Hall of Slime.
It's a Teen Choice Award.
Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon Valuable Player of
the
Week.
The MVP. He's going to get it because they said something about getting slimed there at the end. Because remember Nickelodeon, they're owned by the same company that owns CBS, and they've tried to make... They had that Nickelodeon broadcast last year during the playoffs, remember, where guys would get slimed when they go in the end zone and all that stuff. So,
So
take comfort, Kyler. You might not be the offensive player of the week in the NFC.
It's one of the truly great things in life as you become an adult is when you have now bypassed having to watch Nickelodeon. It's one of the great things. It should be celebrated as a parent. It should be celebrated that you don't have to watch Dora the Explorer and SpongeBob and, you know, all these shows anymore. So when you get past that, when your kids have graduated to not have to watch that anymore, it should be a celebration.
Some of those shows I liked better than others. Like some of those shows I didn't mind watching with the kids. For example, and I know it's back on the air now because they're all grown up, iCarly. I always enjoyed iCarly. It was very fun. You remember iCarly?
I know iCarly.
Okay, yeah, iCarly was a fun show.
She had a friend that was like a comedian.
Yeah,
her friend was like really funny.
Her friend, she and her friend did these web.
Right, but her friend was really funny.
Yeah, yeah. And her older
brother.
And then, like, their parents were stationed abroad. They were in the military or something like that.
Okay.
My daughter really liked iCarly, and I actually enjoyed watching iCarly with her.
My shows were better.
I still watch SpongeBob. I don't know why you guys have moved off the Nickelodeon shows.
Just give me some old HR Puffin stuff, baby. HR Puffin stuff.
Oh, that's
who are you going to call when things get tough?
That was a New York show. That was not a national show.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
It had to be a national show.
Why? Because it happened in New York. That was not a national show.
No, the Magic Garden. You remember the Magic Garden?
That sounds a little familiar now.
HR Puffin stuff was.
Yeah, you're not exactly going with like Sesame Street or the Electric Company over there. I think
the theme song is unbelievable. Yeah, HR Puffin stuff. Who are you going to call when things get tough? That guy right there. You never seen that?
No, I've never seen that.
Seriously?
Seriously, 100%.
That is the scariest looking Muppet type thing I've
honestly,
ever seen.
Honestly,
the greatest cartoon show that's ever lived.
Terrifying lead character, H.R. Puffin stuff.
H.R. Puffin stuff.
Looks
the
like
world
the
of Sid and Marty Croft. That had to be a national show.
Looks like somebody made a face out of Play-Doh and it just melted all over his face.
The stuff of my nightmares, man. I mean, like...
I'm
in that movie It, you know, when it takes the scariest form, my It is going to look just like HR Puffin stuff. God, that thing scares the crap out of me. Tweet out an image of that. I could be wrong. I don't
play the theme song.
What?
Got it?
Well, you got to give me time on that one. Come on.
Oh, geez,
I can confirm this was a national
show. Was it a national show?
See?
Well, I never watched it. I assumed it was like a Wallace and Ladmo kind of a local thing in New York. But some of those kid shows. Well, congratulations to Kyler for being the Nickelodeon valuable player.
I actually liked kid shows when I was a kid, unlike Dave Burns, who likes iCarly at 50 years old. Okay.
Wow. Aren't you so emotionally mature over there? Well, la-di-da. I'm embracing my inner youth, you know? I'm trying to be a kid inside by watching kid shows. I don't watch them anymore, I used to 15 years ago when my now 21-year-old was six. Yeah, it was good family time to sit down and watch iCarly with her.
All right, Blue's Clues wasn't so bad.
See? There you go. There you go.
Blue's Clues wasn't so bad.
Blue's Clues was good. Dora the Explorer was... kind of annoying, actually.
It was very annoying.
It was kind of.
Do you know where this is?
Notebook.
That's right.
Notebook.
Yeah. Striper, no striping.
Striper, no striping. Oh, God, yeah.
Is that what it was? Striper, no striping?
Swiper, no swiping.
Swiper, no swiping.
Swiper, no swiping. Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Kyler. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it was the first time we've heard him speak in several months, and he had a lot to talk about. Chandler Jones, the contract, defensive player of the week, and his future with the Cardinals. That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. NFC Defensive Player of the Week for Chandler Jones. 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. It was easy. It was the sturdiest limb Gambo could have gone out on Sunday when he predicted that Chandler Jones would be Defensive Player of the Week.
I was just having fun midway through the game. Like, Chandler Jones has been named Defensive Player of the Week. You knew it was going to happen.
Of course you knew it was going to happen,
yeah,
right?
Who else was having a game like that?
What we didn't know was going to happen, and what was kind of a pleasant surprise, to be honest with you, was that Chandler Jones addressed the media today, because there have been a lot of questions to ask of Chandler Jones. And so far, throughout training camp, Chandler Jones was silent after the game on Sunday. Chandler Jones was not made available to the media. So today, winning Defensive Player of the Week and that award in the NFC, it was very nice to see Chandler Jones behind a microphone with a chance to kind of hear what he has to think about his status and kind of talking about a couple of things that are very important, including confirming that, yes, I did ask for a trade this offseason.
Yeah, I did ask for a trade. I did. If Steve wants to talk about that, he can speak about it, or my agent, but that is true.
ESPN had reported about a month and a half ago, that he had at some point during the offseason requested a trade. Chandler Jones confirmed that today. He asked for a trade.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, right? Okay, hey, I'd like a new contract. No. Okay, well, trade me. Trade me somewhere where they'll pay me. You know, you get to be in that age, right? You're over 30 in the NFL. Your time becomes very short and you want to cash in. And, you know, he barely played last year. He had 1 sack in 5 games. And, you know, going into this year, the Cardinals were not going to give him a new deal. Prove you're healthy. Prove that you could play well at this level. And then we'll talk about a contract. He obviously wanted to get a new deal done rather than go into the last year of his contract. And they had no interest in it. Now, do I think that something could get done now? Sure. I think that him coming back and, you know, and doing the right things and going all through camp and playing in that first game and playing well probably says, okay, now I feel better about giving you a contract. I wouldn't be surprised if something gets done at some point this season. No idea when. But, you know, but him asking for a trade, I don't think that that's a shocker, because he just felt like that was the leverage he had.
No, it was a report. And to hear him confirm it just kind of backs up that report. As to whether he's thinking about his contract situation, he kind of deferred on that one.
I'm just playing football, honestly. I just let my agent take care of all that, the contract situation. But it is the last year of my contract, and, you know, I just let that take care of itself.
And because of that, it's advantageous, in his words, for him to show up, put the team first, and ignore the noise.
Well, in this situation here, I think it's advantageous for me to show up for sure. I know I wasn't at minicamp, I wasn't at OTAs, but when it comes to this season, I think you know, doing your job is essential. Putting the team first, ignoring the noise, and like I said previously, just managing expectations.
It was the one other thing he could have done, and that was to not show up for training camp, and he didn't do it. I mean, in terms of what options did Chandler Jones have, you mentioned that a second ago. Asking for a trade certainly is one of those options. He could have not shown up if he wanted to for training camp. He didn't. He was there.
No, he did the right. He did the right thing. I mean, because now he showed up for that first game in great shape, having gone through all of camp, and it paid dividends. He got, you know, now, okay, I'll show you. See, and I like this approach. Okay, you didn't want to pay me? Let me show you what I'm still capable of, instead of, you know what, I'm not going to report. And you guys could guess what I could. No, hey, guess what? I just had 5 sacks against the Titans. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go get a sack. Like, just go prove your worth.
Yeah.
And then usually, you know, some things are out of your control. They'll leave it up to your agent and the Cardinals to get a deal done.
I like how he handled it, too. And I'll be honest with you, I like how the Cardinals handled it. And I know not everybody did Sunday when he was in the middle of that 5-sack performance. I have no fault whatsoever with how the Cardinals handled Chandler Jones this offseason. None. You mentioned it. He played in 5 games. He had 1 sack. He didn't play particularly well in those 5 games before he got hurt with the bicep injury. He's 31 years old. And yeah, I agree with what you said earlier in the week, that 31-year-old NFL players in 2021 are a little different than they were in 1991.
They are.
Or 2001, because the practices aren't as hard and there's not as much hitting and there's all of that stuff. But for those reasons, and the fact that you still had not one but 2 franchise tags to use on him if you wanted to, there was no hurry for the Cardinals to extend him or redo his contract without having a better idea of what exactly he was going to look like and be like. There was some risk involved with a 31-year-old player coming off a bicep injury. I don't blame them at all for not giving him a contract extension.
You always have to pay a guy based on what you think he's going to do. You can't pay a guy for what he did in the past. okay, because it's unlikely that, okay, I was mentioning Cameron Jordan, okay? Mm-hmm. Look up Cameron Jordan. He got, after he got paid, after he got his contract extension, his sack numbers disappeared. So he got paid in, I think, right after the 2019 season. I'm gonna look up when he got paid. You look up his numbers. And that's just the thing that you worry about. So he signed a 3-year extension in the summer of 2019.
Okay.
That's when he signed. So the first year would have been, I guess, 19 and 20.
Okay, in 2019, he had 15 and a half sacks.
And then in 20?
He had 7.5 sacks.
He went from 19 and a half to 7.5?
15 and a half to 7.5.
15 and a half to 7.5.
Yeah, he went from 15 and a half to 7.5.
Yeah.
He went from 25 quarterback hits to 16 quarterback hits. He paid, if 2019 was the first year of his new deal, he paid dividends that year. He played all 16 games. He had 15 and a half sacks. But yeah, he had a dip. He had a dip after that, for sure. There's no doubt about it.
No, and that's the extension kicked in. The following year, after the,
first year he got paid, yeah, the new money was 2020.
Yeah.
Then there was a, if that's what you're telling me, then yeah, there was a dip for Cameron Jordan.
And listen, because no matter what, right, we could say, they take better care of their bodies. It's still father time, right? It's still, there is an expiration date on players in the NFL, unless you're Tom Brady. Everybody else has an expiration date. You could only play for so long at a high level, and once you can't play at a high level anymore, then they get rid of you.
There's got to be some middle ground here. The Cardinals do have the franchise tag in their back pocket. They don't want to use it contractually. It's not advantageous for them or their salary cap or anything like that. And obviously, Chandler Jones, being 31 years old, the opportunity to make one last big payday before he really hits old age, at least by NFL standards, mm-hmm, there's got to be some middle ground for a contract to be reached between the two of them. Like you say, when is it going to happen? Don't know. You believe it will happen at some point before the end of the season. I think a lot of it will be dictated by his performance and how much pressure he continues to put on them. But the Cardinals have to be careful about this. He's an older player who at some point his skills will decline. And as you've said, you don't want to pay for what you did in the past. You want to pay fair market value for what you're going to do going forward. And projecting that for a 31-year-old pass rusher can be challenging.
So my projection would be a 3-year extension for somewhere in the $50 million to $60 million range, with somewhere around $40 to $47 million guaranteed. So that would be my projection. 3-year deal, $50 to $60 million, $40 to $45 million guaranteed. That's what I think is a fair deal for, because that, if he gets $45 million guaranteed, he's only going to get 20, 21, 22 in the first year,
yeah,
with the Cardinals. So now if it's 22 and they're going to give him, they're guaranteeing you $23 million more after next season's over.
Right.
So you would get this season, the next season, and almost the next season of making all that, of making $20 million a
year. But like with all negotiations, I'm sure he would probably like to get more than that. Whether he gets it or not, we'll see. Week 2 kicks off tomorrow night. Wow, week 2 starts already, and there's still time for you to pick, for you to sign up, I should say, for Bix Picks. Text the word pick to 620-620. Sign up, compete against Dan Bickley for your chance at the grand prize of a tailgate package featuring a Yeti Tundra cooler and grill courtesy of Modelo Especial. Weekly winners will receive a $100 gift card to Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers as well. To participate in Bix Picks, text the word pick to 620-620 to enter. The Phoenix Suns, only a few weeks away from the start of the season. Should we be worried about the contractual situation for their center piece? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Thirty-four days.
Let's go.
The NBA season begins. It's just nuts. In 34 days. A month. Basically a month. And it's here. Training camp starts. I was listening to Wolf and Luke when I was driving in. 2 weeks from yesterday, I think, is when camp reports, camp begins for the Phoenix Suns. And look, the season is going to have all sorts of anticipation, all sorts of excitement. It might not live up to the standard that was set by last year, because as you pointed out, a lot of things went right for the Suns last year. Not that what happened was a fluke by any stretch. It was not.
No, they're good.
But they helped themselves by staying healthy during the regular season, and they got help in the postseason because just about everybody they played was injured, was missing key guys or had key guys hurt. They're going to be good again this year. ESPN did their projection today, their panel of experts kind of coming up with wins and losses for every team in the Western Conference. They had Suns third in the West with a 51-31 record.
Yeah, you know, I asked you before if you would sign up for it, man. It's hard if somebody says your team's going to win 50-something games to not take that. I think that some people might think, okay, they might be better than that. Maybe they are better than 51. Maybe they're 53, 55 games.
They won 51 games last year with 10 fewer games.
10 fewer games.
You know? Yeah. So I can see why people might go, ooh, that's it, 51. But like you just said a second ago, 50-win season in the NBA is a 50-win season in the NBA. It's yeah. kind of hard to thumb your nose at that and say, oh, no, that's not good enough for me. I expect better.
When did they have? So last year was... So you got to go back to 2019 for the last time you had a full season, or 2018?
The 2018-19 season was the last.
I just want to see.
Season.
I want to see where that gets you. 51 wins in the West. Like what? You know, where would that get you? So in the West, teams with more than 51 wins: Houston, Golden State, Denver, Portland. That would have got you fifth in the West, 51 wins.
Okay.
The last time there was a full season, the Suns were 19-63.
Wait, ask me again if I'd be happy with a 51-win season.
2018-19, I don't have 19-20. I did 18-19. The Suns were 19-63. Four other teams had more than 51 wins. I'll take 51 wins. I'd like more. I'd like more. I'm okay with being greedy sometimes, but I'll take over 50 wins.
I'll tell you the trade-off I'll take.
Yeah.
And I know you're not offering this, but you tell me 51 wins and that roster's fully healthy when the playoffs start? Oh, yeah, I'll take that. I'll take that. I don't care what seed they are in the West. Where 50, if 51 is good enough for 3, 2, 4, 5, as long as it's not, you know, 7 or below, so you're in that play-in nonsense, and you wouldn't. With 51 games. If you can sell me 51 wins and you're healthy at the start of the playoffs, oh, hell yeah. Done. Where do I sign? Give me a pen. I'm ready to go. I'll sign for that right now.
I'm going to say that, listen, they should be better. They don't have Dario, but they added JaVale McGee. They added another three-point shooter in Landry Shamet. It's another year under Monty, another year under the same coach, you know, the same coach.
Yep.
And it's younger players who now are experienced. They're experienced. They know what it's like. They have a better understanding of... They've been with Chris Paul for a full year. It's another year in the NBA for DeAndre and Mikhail and for Devin Booker and for Cam Johnson and a lot of those players. So I think that they should just gradually take a... I don't know what it means for wins and losses, but they should be, you know, not marginally, but they should be a better team than they were last year.
Here's something else to consider, too, and I just thought about this, and I'll be curious to see what you think. The West, think about what's going on around them in the West, okay? Utah, they look like they're going to be pretty good, and they improved by getting Rudy Gay and Hassan Whiteside. The Lakers most definitely improved with Russell Westbrook, but there's some questions about how Westbrook is going to fit, and that's a really old basketball team, okay? So their regular season win total might not be the best. The Nuggets? Who knows when Jamal Murray is going to be back? The Warriors?
I don't know about them.
Who knows how effective Klay Thompson's going to be? I think, like you, and what made me think about this was you mentioned where the seeding got you with 51 wins just a couple of years ago. I think the West might be a little down this year just because there are so many question marks about the Lakers and Westbrook, the Nuggets and Murray, the Clippers and Kawhi, the Warriors and Klay Thompson. You know that there's the Trailblazers and Damian Lillard. There's some question marks about some teams around the Western Conference this year.
By the way, LeBron's going to be 37 years old in a few months. He's going to be 37 years old in December.
Unless he's drinking the same Tom Brady magic juice that Brady is drinking, at some point Father Time's going to get him too. Does it happen this year?
37, and he's probably like 40 when you factor in all the playoff games he's had.
All the extra seasons he's basically
played. He's a few months away from being 37 years old. I mean, how long can he continue to dominate basketball games?
The West might be a little down this year in the regular season. 51 wins might be good enough to get you the 2 seed or the 3 seed, as ESPN projects.
We're going to find out soon enough.
Yeah, we are. DeAndre Ayton,
update on the contract. I checked on it today. just to see if there was anything new with the people that I'm speaking with, and just no update at this point. There's no update. I know that I know that both sides, especially DeAndre's side, would love to get something done. They would love to get something done. We'll see if something happens before the start of the season.
I would have to assume that if the Suns were interested in offering him the max contract,
it would have been done already.
They would have done it by now.
Yeah, because there's nothing to negotiate. Here, we want to offer you the max, take it, and we're done.
And they haven't done it.
But
that doesn't mean they won't before the deadline comes, right?
They could offer him a four-year deal. They could say, listen, we'll give you a four-year deal for this much money instead of the five-year deal with the max. They could offer him a four-year deal and see if he takes that.
Yeah.
And if you're his group, you could say that gets you to free agency a little bit quicker as well to cash in on a big deal. So it's just, maybe that's where they're at.
Yeah, it just makes you wonder we're not going to offer you the max. We're not going to do it. Will you take this? Will you take that? And then right at the deadline, all right, fine. We'll offer you the max. Trying to see if you can get him to bite on something less than the max. Because as you said, you think the deadline for all of this to happen is by game one of the regular season, right? He's going to extend that rookie contract, you have to do it before the season actually starts. Text us your thoughts on the Suns roster, the FanDuel text line. It's always open for you at 620-620. You can text us right now. It was his first game as a member of the Cardinals, and Rodney Hudson made a major impact. We'll tell you about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. We've referred to it many, many times. We had a poll question about a week ago. What new member of the Arizona Cardinals is going to most impact the wins and losses for the 2021 Cards? And we had Rondell Moore, J.J. Watt, A.J. Green, and Zaven Collins.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a text from a player, an unnamed player. Dude, you're kind of missing Rodney Hudson on the list.
And your answer is Rodney Hudson.
That's your answer. Rodney Hudson. And yeah, that so far, and we're like, yep, you know what? We might have missed out on that one. And to hear them rave about him today, this is Cliff Kingsbury on Rodney Hudson.
No doubt. He's one of the best communicators at any position I've been around, particularly with that group that he works with. But he's communicating the whole game. He's talking to people. He's talking it out with coaches, with players, with the quarterback. And that's, it's really changed a lot for our offense and the way we can play at a quicker tempo, more efficiently. He's been a big deal for us.
Kyler Murray even credited Rodney Hudson for helping him identify a zero blitz and kind of calling out of that.
It makes a ton of difference. The check to hop, when he scored on slant, him before the play, he alerted that it was going to be zero. And, that I've never experienced that with, the center just, alerting me that that was coming. So that's just something that he does that most guys, wouldn't see. So big time difference with him.
So he saw it first?
Yeah.
Yeah, he saw it first. Not me, him.
Well, yeah, when you see that, there's no deep defenders. You got, one-on-one coverage, and you got a big pass rush coming, and you've got it. You could take a shot right there. So that's, Rodney Hudson was able to identify that. So it's, defensive coordinator comes up, he goes zero blitz, it leaves no safety back deep. The receivers are just one-on-one matchups across the board with no safety back deep in what the theory is a zero blitz. So if Rodney Hudson sees that, he says, Kyler, hey, listen, they're in zero right now. There's no safety deep. You want to take a shot? Take a shot.
Yeah.
You want to go down the sideline? You're not going to have to worry about a safety coming over and helping there. So that's where Rodney Hutchins' experience comes in. He sees zero coverage, and he says, let's go. And then now Kyler could say, okay, I got a play call, but I'm going to audible out of that play call, and I'm going to take my shot with Christian Kirk right now, feeling that I got a play here.
I think, and this just validates something that I thought about the team for the last couple of months. I think the offensive line played really, really well. I think the offensive line is overall one of the true strengths of the Arizona Cardinals this year, and not just because Pro Football Focus said after week one they had the 12th best offensive line. That's nice to hear. I like the depth. I like their options. I like where it stands left to right. I think it really is one of the best parts about the Arizona Cardinals, and I think you really saw that on Sunday against the Titans. I think you saw Kyler Murray operating out of a clean pocket, very little pressure. It's not always going to be that pristine, but I have a really good feeling about how much better that offensive line is going to make Kyler Murray this year, how it's going to bring out the very best in him.
Boy, I'll tell you, when you go from having one of the worst centers to one of the best, and then you know you look at the continuity that you've had with DJ Humphries and Justin Pugh, and then you look at the depth, right? One of your guys goes down, and you've got Winters that could play. You got Murray that could play. You just feel like you've got better depth on the offensive line, you know, than you've ever had before. I mean, they drafted an offensive lineman. He doesn't even make the team. Why? It's hard. Like, it's hard to beat out any of the offensive linemen they have. They got good players.
Yep, and Josh Jones, more than holding his own. He was a third-round pick a couple of years ago. I've really been impressed with that offensive line. It's time for the What's On Tonight, and it's brought to you by Vizzy Hard Seltzer. It's the only hard seltzer crafted with antioxidant vitamin C. Proud sponsors of your Arizona Diamondbacks. They are on tonight, taking on the L.A. Dodgers at 7:10. You'll hear it here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station, and that is the subject of this.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM Arizona's Sports Station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the new Sonic Grilled Cheeseburger for a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Before we get into the pitching matchup tonight from Chavez Ravine, as the Diamondbacks look to avoid the sweep, there were several roster moves today made by the club. They reinstated right-handed pitcher Merrill Kelly from the injured list. He's going to get the start tonight. Lefty Tyler Gilbert has been put on the 10-day injured list with left elbow fatigue. And then they moved right-handed pitcher Kevin Ginkle to the 60-day injured list.
So every single day, there's moves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I stopped looking at it every day. Just every day, there's just because of the injuries and the guys they've had to shuffle through the rotation and the bullpen, is there's moves like every day.
The pitching matchup tonight as the Diamondbacks look to do something against the L.A. Dodgers is brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers changing lives. The aforementioned Merrill Kelly gets the start. 7-9, 4.30 ERA, his first start since August 11th. Julio Urias gets the start for the Dodgers. He is 17-3.
Leads the majors in wins.
With a 2.98 ERA, my goodness.
Yeah, 29th start of the season. He struck out 175 and walked only 33 in 163 and a third innings. He leads the majors in wins. He threw 7 shutout innings against the Padres last Friday. Now, look at him since the All-Star break. He's 5-1 with a 1.47 ERA against the Diamondbacks, and he's got a 1.74 ERA in 10 starts since the All-Star break. He's been unhittable.
Yeah, he has been fantastic, and for the Arizona Diamondbacks, this has been just a horrible matchup all year long. LA is 13-2 against Arizona this season. That includes being 8-1 at home. Time for the MLB standings, and they are brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. As we look at the standings, we all know the Giants and the Dodgers have already clinched spots in the postseason, and the Diamondbacks are well behind them. We look at the overall standings to tell you right now that the Baltimore Orioles still have the worst record of Major League Baseball by just a half game over the Arizona Diamondbacks with only a couple of dozen or so games left. So with that, let's get you a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game, brought to you by Sell to Sands. Take away the hassle of selling a vehicle yourself. Go to sell2sands.com today.
He's been killing the Diamondbacks all year. Max Muncy's 33 home runs, ranks third in the NL, too shy of his career high. He hit 35 homers in 2018-19. If he does it again, he'll be just the third Dodger with at least 3 35 home run seasons, joining Duke Snider and Mike Piazza. So last night, he had a 2-0 count, and they pitched to him, and he hit a home run. Stay away from Max Muncy. He's been destroying teams.
Easier said than done. We're out of here. We're going to see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.